This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Lonely Planet just got a little less lonely with Chris Zaya on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Chris Zaya.
Warren, hello.
I haven't seen you for ages.
I know, we had a little reunion in the studio before. It was quite lovely.
How are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you very much.
That's fantastic. Now, you are here because you're going to be talking about travel today, and I believe it's like festivals and events and things like that.
Yeah, big events. So really interestingly, we watched most recently the something, this big phenomenon happened in the States with the solar eclipse. And I was actually in the States whilst it was happening.
And I hope you didn't look at it.
I didn't look at it. But it was visible from over 15 different US states. And what fascinated me about this is it was roughly between 4 to 5 million people travelled to see it. So they travelled for this event. And they actually generated something like $1.5 billion in tourism dollars into
the
States.
To see the eclipse.
To places like Dallas and Cleveland and Buffalo and as far up in Canada as Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really interesting phenomenon. And then it was kind of like, it got me thinking about, well, what are the events that we should be thinking about in the Australian calendar that we should be actually travelling to? And I'm obviously travelling to a very large singing contest.
We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But just on the eclipse, did it go dark? Was it one of those total eclipses?
Yeah, it was a total eclipse. And if anyone's seen
Bonnie Tyler.
Turn around. It was. And it was one of the best viewed eclipses in such a long period of time because of where it actually landed. So a lot of people captured amazing footage on there. For their socials. It was really quite a great phenomenon. And it was dark. It was black.
I remember that happening here when I was a kid in Melbourne. We had a total eclipse.
When was that, 1933?
It was about 1,000 years ago.
Oh, that was so cruel. But you did kind of open the door, Warren.
I know, I did. But it did. I remember being at my grandmother's house and it was the middle of the day and it went completely dark for a few minutes. Completely dark. And we were all scared to go outside because we were told that we'd go blind if we did.
And Airbnb reported something like a 97% capacity rate within the splinter of the window where the eclipse was actually, being held. So just phenomenal pieces of data. So I was kind of like, yep, that's prompted me to kind of do a deep dive on the Australian events and the Australian things that are actually happening in the next month or 2 months.
Right.
So we can actually get planning for those as well.
What's the first one we're going to talk about?
Well, this one was off and it's on again. So we know festivals around Australia are actually having a real tough time in terms of getting audiences. So Dark Mofo has actually had a slight rebrand, and it's called Dark Mofo Presents Winter 2024.
Oh,
cool. So that is going to happen in Hobart in Tasmania from June the 13th to June the 23rd. And this is a big celebration of the winter solstice. So what I love about this festival, it's a real reason to go down to the depths of Tasmania in winter when you wouldn't normally traditionally be going and experiencing what that destination has on offer. The big draw card is obviously the nude swim,
the
nude solstice.
Would you do it?
I got in.
Oh,
I got in the ballot, but then
it
was a ballot back in the day. So I got in, but then that was the year that COVID cancelled everything. So in 2020, so nobody got to see my hairy butt on the TV.
I'll do it when they align it with a total eclipse.
Oh, I love this.
So as we take our clothes off, bang, it all just goes dark.
I love that idea. So what's really interesting is this year they've actually increased the capacity for the nude swim, which happens on Friday, June the 21st, which is midwinter. So you still are able to actually go down there and book tickets to perform in the swim. There's also the popular winter feast, which happens down on the docks in the Princess Wharf in the Salamanca.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
It's pretty amazing. So this is quite gluttonous. It's got incredible food, particularly that incredible Tasmanian local produce.
Yum.
So the seafoods, the wines, all that sort of stuff. Some international guest chefs also coming in for that. And then MONA is actually, or the Museum of Old and New Art, is actually going to be doing an excellent new exhibition, which is called Name Dropping.
Oh.
And that is all about the analysis of the human pursuit of looking good in the eyes of others.
So oh, Chris.
Obviously, Warren, you and I are in that exhibition.
I'm not. You might be.
pretty.
She's gorgeous. That's fantastic. I love MONA, I must admit. I think it's even just to look at the building is amazing.
It's
just,
and if anyone's not done it before, absolutely do. Like, do the posh pit on the boat that goes across. So actually do the go up the Derwent to the actual museum, because you'll be presented with this incredible sandstone cliff, and then you kind of go up the staircase and realise that it's actually like a spiral staircase, and it's a subterranean museum, so the museum's in the ground.
It's so exciting.
It's friggin' amazing. I love it.
I love it too. I love Hobart though.
Hobart's amazing.
Isn't
and the
it?
Food scene in Hobart is incredible. So this just gives a really great reason to kind of go down and celebrate.
Is there anything up the other end of the country?
Yeah, so this one's really interesting. This is the Garma Festival, which is actually going to be occurring in the Northern Territory from Friday the 2nd of August to Monday the 5th of August. Now, this takes place in far northeast Arnhem Land. So it's actually a little bit tricky to get to. So you can either have to get to the Gove Airport via Darwin or Cairns, because it is in the kind of like top corner of the Northern Territory.
Okay.
And it's hosted by the Yothu Yindi Foundation. And this is a showcase of traditional art, song, dance, storytelling. It is really quite a beautiful festival, very well known in the Northern Territory, but you've got to plan well in advance for this. You are staying in tents when you are there.
Love tents.
It's amazing.
It's
you know,
great.
It's Northern Territory. It's fine. You're staying in tents, but they do not provide bedding. So you will need to provide, or like sheets and pillows. So you will need
like
to actually pack
air
that.
Mattress or
You'll
something.
Get a mattress, and that's basically it. But it is an incredible, incredible cultural event, and one worth popping on your calendar if you're thinking about traveling to the Northern Territory.
Do you know, I've never been up to the top of the Northern Territory.
It is not a place. It's not a little pocket that I've been to either. And I think, again, these are really great. So, you know, Hobart down one end of Australia, northeast Arnhem Land down up the other end. I love the fact that these events are taking place and give us reasons to go and actually pop them on our calendar and then think about a broader trip. So maybe you'll go off to the Tiwi Islands, or maybe you'll do Darwin, or maybe like I think it gives us impetus to actually explore these regions a lot deeper, which I really love.
I love that too. Now, I know I don't want to sidetrack too much, but Darwin, should we be visiting Darwin?
Yeah, Darwin's an interesting one. I do like it. It's a nice gateway city to a lot of the national parks and the regions that are up there. It's got quite a quirky little culture, and you know, I think it's got an enjoyable food scene, because particularly it's got this like really weird Indonesian fusion.
Oh, so it's oh,
because of course, like you know, got Indonesia so
just
close.
Just a hop, skip, and jump.
Exactly. So I love that. And the night the sunset markets on the beach there in Mindle Beach are just beautiful. So there's some really great reasons to go up to Darwin as well.
I reckon we should have night markets here in Melbourne permanently. I can't see why we don't.
Yeah, I do too. I think night markets are a fantastic draw card.
Gets
people out. And I think Victoria's got to take a little bit of a note from places like Tasmania in terms of that we can do some really special stuff in the winter months.
We've got the population too.
100%.
And the different cultures. Hey, I reckon, is there anything in South Australia we should
get? Yeah, hometown hero.
Oh,
so,
of course.
So Adelaide boy through and through. So Tasting Australia takes place in Adelaide from the 3rd to the 12th of March every year. Now, Tasting Australia is one of the longest running food and wine festivals that is held annually in the country.
Right.
Now, what I love about Tasting Australia, yes, it's a celebration of food and wine and spirits and all those bits and pieces, but there are a load of free events. Or there are a load of really inexpensive events. So 160 events over about 12 different locations. For some of the ticketed events, they start as low as $10.
Oh,
so
great.
Really, you know, there's one event that where you can actually meet 30 different producers from South Australia at this one event in a really great event space. And that's $10. So I think that's a really, really, really great opportunity to go there. But again, to our point, then explore wider around South Australia, you know, maybe go to the Adelaide Hills or go to one down McLaren Vale or up to the Barossa Valley. There's across to Kangaroo Island. There's so many reasons to kind of explore a little bit further.
With South Australia, would you drive there or fly there and hire a car?
I do both. So because it's home, I tend to drive a lot because obviously I want a car when I'm with it. And it's sort of it's an easy sort of 7.5-8 hour drive from Melbourne. It's quite simple. But it's a 50-minute flight as well. So it's really quite easy to do. But I tend to like to have a car so I can explore further.
I mean, 50-minute flight, though, by the time you drive to the airport in peak hour, check in, wait, I mean, you might be there. You're halfway there.
To be honest with you, I love a road trip too.
Yeah, I do too.
I love being in the car and actually then, you know, stopping at a local cafe or a local bakery. Nothing beats a country bakery for a little bit of a lunchtime stop for a sausage roll and
chicken sandwich and white bread.
Apple turnover or something or other like that. You know what I mean? It like takes you back to the...
Exactly, a Lamington.
I love a Lamington.
Yeah, so do I.
A good one. Good one.
Not the supermarket
ones. No. Bakery one, right?
Yeah, bakery. I love it. Okay, let's... New South Wales, we haven't talked about that. Is there anything there?
Yeah, the other big one to kind of highlight here is the Vivid Festival. So, again, this is a really good... This is a good example of, again, another destination thinking about what can we do in the winter months to draw a crowd. So Vivid takes place in Sydney from the 24th of May to the 15th of June. This is the 14th time the festival will be held. And this is where you'll see that those incredible light installations projected onto places like the Opera House and Sydney Harbour Bridge. And Circular Quay is free to see all of that stuff. So that's the bit that I love the most, is that you will mingle with the most amazing people there. You'll mingle with backpackers and families from the western suburbs and all of these people that are drawn in to kind of see these incredible light installations, which I really love. There's something quite charming about that. And you know, making art accessible for all is something that I'm all about.
And walking around seeing it. Whatever happened, and I don't expect you to know the answer, but I wonder what happened. Remember we had white...
Yeah, I do know.
I loved it.
It got moved. So it got moved from... It was very difficult and kind of got overpopulated. I think
that means it's popular.
The last White Night was really difficult to kind of maneuver the crowds and bits and pieces. So it did get moved and got transformed. And I believe the council is looking at different ways of actually presenting and doing things within the city. So if you're wanting to look for event calendars, it's a really good idea to jump on to the local tourism site. So, for instance, Visit Victoria will have an event calendar, same with Destination New South Wales or Tourism South Australia. So if you know you're going to one of those particular places, jump on those kind of local tourism websites and they'll have a full menu of things that you can do whilst you're there.
I love it, Chris. Any overall sort of tips for us for going to any of these festivals?
So I am a big one. You've heard this from me like multiple times. Book early. Booking early is really, really good because
it's tattooed on your forehead.
It is. I've done that like with the girl from Mean Girls, but I've tattooed it on backwards, so I can only read it in the mirror. study your programs in advance, right? So know what you want to go to. Mm-hmm. And I think my other big one here is always book through official websites. So for instance, if you're going to Tasting Australia, book through tastingaustralia.com.au.
Fantastic, Chris. It's really good to see you. Now you're going to take a little bit of a holiday, aren't you?
I am. I'm off on long service leave.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Most of my American counterparts are like, how can he get away with that?
So I'd be jealous.
So I'm off for 3 months.
Where are you going?
So I will start by going to a big camp singing contest in Sweden called Eurovision.
That's exciting.
Early May. So off to there. And then I'm spending a month on the Greek islands.
Oh, Chris.
Now, if I don't come back looking like a stick of Saganaki, I haven't had a good trip.
I was going to say, you'll come back all refreshed and we'll look like the stick of Saganaki that hasn't been fried yet.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to it. Have a great break, won't you?
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on your long service leave.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.